Good morning, boys and girls. How's everybody out there in the wide world of fishing land today? Oh, goodness. I'm trying to get up the ambition to be all happy and stuff, but boy, this Monday morning's kicking my butt. I'm not sure what's going on with that. I've just back and forth with it, back and forth. You know, 5:30 came, didn't want to get out of bed. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I guess I'm just getting lazy. Anyway.
It's the dog days of summer.
Woof. Woof. Okay. Woof. All right.
That was good. Get you to howl next.
I was actually, well, let's not say arrested because they never actually formally charged me, but I was detained once for howling at the moon.
Right.
Yes. Yes, I actually have one of those.
Wonder what that statute is.
Well, apparently I didn't feel safe to drive, so I was walking home and walked into a branch that was laying on the ground and actually started howling.
In
I was
pain.
Having a good no, I was just having a good time. I was watching the moon. I guess werewolves must have crossed my mind because I don't remember any pain involved with it. Just all of a sudden a few police officers picking me up. At the moment I was one of the local celebrities. I was kind of a celebrity in town. I was doing a anyway, but another one of those other live things. So anyway, it was pretty cool. But I do have that on my resume. The cops picked me up and they took me back to the house. Because I mean, I was walking. I wasn't hurting anybody. I was just
right.
Making a little bit of noise.
That's funny. So,
yep. Yeah. Some of the weird memories that hit you when you're not looking. All right. Enough of that. Fishing report time. Let's see. Outside of my colorful past, do we have any kind of colorful fish? Don't know. What do we got colorful fish-wise?
Redfish, bluefish.
Redfish, bluefish.
Tang.
Well, I don't know if we have any orange fish here. So, but speaking of redfish, there does seem to be a better concentration as we're starting up by the Peace River here, as we usually do. On the north side of that area between 41 and 75, but we'll come back to that. Going up the river, I have not heard of a thing up river. Have you?
Neither have I.
Okay, down at the Peace River. How about I-75?
That was easy. I-75, there's just been a few black drum, an oddball red, and a couple of small whiting.
Yeah, you know, we've been doing a lot more with the blue crabs because we've been actually able to get a good source on blue crabs. And it's funny how commercial fishermen just don't like money. This is what I do. I'm not going to go out of my
thing.
You know, this is what I do. This is where I am. You know, like I say, Jiminy Crickets, what a bunch of group there. Okay, anyway, getting around I-75, the black drum, blue crabs, best bet, chunks of old dead, you know, take a bag of frozen shrimp, and let a few sit in the sun a bit and put three or four on a, you know, about a 4-aught hook and get a nice stinky little chunk of shrimp bait down there. They like that. Clam chunks are working well. I mean, there's
clam
so many
chunks,
things.
There's something I haven't thought about trying.
Well, oysters are their favorite food. They actually crunch up the shells and get to that little oyster
right.
guy inside. And so clams, oysters, got to be the same thing.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But I think if I was going to do it, I would take a little bit of squid with me, and I would stick the clam on a couple times through the hook, you know, put it on, fold it, put it on, you know, and then I'd stick a little piece of squid over the top of it to keep it there.
There you go.
You know, just a tiny bit of squid there. You know, I do the same thing with shrimp sometimes, like especially if I'm snapper fishing in the Gulf.
Yeah.
I like to stick the shrimp on the hook, and I take a little piece of squid and use it as a stopper.
As a stopper, plus if they do steal it, they still come back and might hit it.
Yeah, it's a, you know, the double whammy.
Yeah.
They can get the other one off, but when they come back to get that extra little tidbit of squid, ha, gotcha.
Yeah.
Secret attack. I like
it. That's pretty good.
Okay, anyway, coming back, leaving I-75, coming down river, the northern side seems to be the red fishy side.
Yes.
You got over at Rolls Landing, the docks, all those docks along there. And that Power Pole Park, I've got to change the north end of 41 there to Power Pole Park and go down and get a bunch of pictures of it. I haven't changed the website yet to updated to that. And I'm looking at, what do we got? Like 50, 80 more places I got to put up now. We're opening up in North Fort Myers. Oh, my God.
I'd say at least 80, probably.
Yeah. I mean, between the inshore, the offshore, the freshwater, the saltwater, there's so many new places I have to add to the website going south now. So,
right. It's going to be crazy.
New store's supposed to open sometime in September. It was actually August. Now we're looking September. You know, it's not going to hurt my feelings if it doesn't happen until October.
Right.
We got, oh, man, speaking of all that, the Fort Myers Boat Show. We are creating a tackle show inside of the boat show. And we've already got reps from Penn, Quantum, Finor, Redbone Rods, Reaper Rods. Shimano's coming for 2 days.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Danny from Shimano's going to be there, I think, Friday and Saturday. And we got a whole bunch of people coming to that Fort Myers Boat Show. It's going to be really cool. I think we're going to be set up around the volleyball area so we can kind of put a casting thing together, so actually get some, not just lure demonstration, but actually casting stuff. So it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be an interesting show. I think that's really turning into, I think that's going to be one of the bigger tackle events. I mean, not like the tent sale. You know, our tent sale just is ridiculous, way and above and beyond what anybody else, even I, could do. But I think that's going to be a really good event for people who live down in Fort Myers, want to come over and get some great deals and stuff. And each day there'll be different specials and stuff, and then kind of show specials. It's going to be pretty cool.
On top of all the guest speakers you're going
to
have.
Yeah, we got so many people to meet and talk to and hang out with and, you know, get deals from. And as always, the best way to make a deal is go talk to the guys.
Right.
You know, the one thing I believe in more than anything is one person talking to the other can get stuff done. And go up to the guys and say, hey, you know, I love fishing this. You know, we work it out. I get this and this. Kind of like I do. If I go in and buy one thing, this is probably going to be my discount. But if I buy a whole bunch of stuff, maybe it'll do a little better.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
You know, pocketbooks and press. That's how I get my stuff done. You know? But now, the Redfish North End of the Bridge, that Power Pole Park, Redfish, Black Drum, and Sharks.
Yeah.
Actually,
there has been a couple oddball juvenile tarpon along that whole north side, too, and that whole north end of the bridge. You know, not a lot, but enough worth mentioning, you know, to keep your eye out looking for some of those little guys. You know, they're that 10 to 20 pound size, just fun.
Yeah.
So your same tackle is going to work perfectly fine for them. Yeah, and I love the assortment of stuff that they're catching those redfish on down there. Seems like the little 3-inch storm baits have been working good. The small weedless spoons. And then, of course, you were talking about the blue crabs have been, you know, the absolutely amazing with a few sardines.
Oh, just set it here for me, please.
A few cut-up ladyfish. You know, that cut bait's been pretty impressive with how well it's been working.
Yeah, switch over to the other side of the river, Lashley Pier.
The other side over there, it's actually been pretty quiet this whole week. I've heard of a couple small mangrove snapper, a couple whiting, and a couple small sharks, but the guys have been really working hard at it. What's the river at, by the way? With all that rain we had last week in Tampa and Lakeland, I'm curious to see if it's jumping up there.
All right, we're on the Peace River, might as well go there. Openingfishandfranks.com. On the front page, you scroll down, you see weather and tides or a thunderstorm. Click the thunderstorm icon. And then scroll down to the bottom of the page, and you'll see the Peace River button. When you pick that, you're going to come up with two graphs. The top graph is flow, water flow by the minute. And we're up to 2,450 cubic feet a second. That's a lot. Wow. Okay, just hit flood stage in Arcadia. If you guys remember, if you have 2 feet of water or less, there's really no water coming down the Peace River, because where that thing is, 2 feet's kind of the gauge, because the river gets shallower as it comes down to us in places, so it really doesn't allow the water to flow down. But right now, we just hit a little over 11 feet in Arcadia.
Wow.
It
compared
was,
to last week was...
It was 5.5 feet, 6 foot, and it's gone up 6 feet in the last week.
Wow.
So...
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah, kind of crazy that that river going up 11 feet. It's up 6 feet, a foot a day over the last week.
It's pretty impressive. Figured wow. It had to have changed with all that rain they had up in Tampa and Lakeland area.
Yeah, it's surprising people forget how, you know,
how far up the Peace River really goes.
Yeah, how attached we are to Florida, because we are the outlet for the river. So, yeah. And it's funny how many people think that we're Caloosahatchee affected here in Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda. It has nothing to do with us.
Not at all.
But we have 200 miles of other rivers and creeks and thousands of miles of tributaries all feeding right to us.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what really kind of does all that.
Pretty surprising.
Let's see. The other thing, I'll get this up so that, boy, I got stuff dinging and going on all over the place.
I was
going to
say, that's a new noise. I haven't heard that one before.
Okay, that's got to be the phone dying on me. I keep forgetting to charge them. I'm a guy who just wanted a simple flip phone. Now I've got flip phones and smartphones and feel like a 1950s telephone operator sometime. All right, Key West, the water temperature is 86.2, Naples 86.9, St. Pete 86, Pensacola 84.6. So Pensacola dropped a little bit.
Yeah, it did. We all did, actually.
That thunderstorm out there, that big one that's dumping all that water in Louisiana, cooled that northern Gulf off a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
So,
pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But that's good. That gets a lot of fish moving around and excited.
August, let's see, there we go. We're actually in normal temperatures now.
Right.
Key West is actually a little cooler than normal. St. Pete, right at normal for this time of year.
Nice.
So that dropped it a bit. A lot of that storms, wave agitation, all the rest of stuff. So that's pretty cool. I know I should have done that when we had the Gulf of Mexico going on, but I already had fishandfranks.com up and looking at all that. So anyway, let's see. We were talking about there. I don't remember. What did we say about Lashley Pier? We were talking about how the fishing was on the other side.
Yeah, Lashley's kind of exceptionally mediocre. A few small mangrove snapper, some very small whiting, and a couple of those small sharks that you're talking about on the north end. Are venturing over to that side a little bit too. It hasn't been gangbusters by any stretch, which you kind of expect that when you get these rains like this.
You know? But it's weird how the north end of the bridge is the power pole park, which is now the north end of the bridge, is actually doing okay. The fishing is pretty good there. And right across the river on Lashley, not much.
Right.
It's literally, you know, see one from the other. Alright, Bayshore Pier right around the corner from there. Any reports from there?
I have not gotten a report out of there all week. It's been kind of weird.
Okay.
And I've seen a couple oddball people fishing it, but just no bad
right.
Good.
Let's go over to Port Charlotte Canals.
That's been a little bit better. We've been getting some good mixed reports of a lot of small snook, a few oddball redfish kind of at the mouths. The jacks have been coming through just about every morning on a lot of these canals. A lot of guys are coming in talking about it, blitzing out there. It's kind of neat. And then the juvenile tarpon have been really good at the mouth, those couple few canals just at the entrance going into Edgewater Lake.
Right.
Grassy Point. All that whole basin around the beach complex and going into East Spring Lake, getting a lot of guys seeing tarpon from both the beach complex pier, boat ramp, kind of that whole vicinity. You know, and they're mostly smaller guys, but a couple guys have actually seen some fish in there pushing 100 pounds.
Cool.
Enough to get them excited.
Let's drop into Eljo. Eljo Bean Pier, we have that listed as a separate entity now.
Eljo Bean's been doing pretty good. It's mainly been an early morning bite and an evening bite. Some black drum, mangrove snapper. There's actually a couple guys talked about some sheep's head this past week off of there, and that struck me as a little odd, but it was two different guys. Been a couple small sharks, and of course the juvenile tarpon and the snook in the evening and at night have been really pretty good. Water's flowing pretty heavy through there too. You know, I know we talk about the Peace River all the time, but the Myakka River gets affected just as much so as the Peace River with that flooding.
Yeah, I've got to go ahead and once the rain stops, I'm going to get an average and a flow off the Myakka. So I have a template to go by. Right now, I cannot remember. I live on the Peace River, so I know the levels, I know the volumes, right. I know what's going on, but I always forget because of the Myakka. I don't have a set template because I only fish it when I run up there, and
right.
I forget to look.
Oh, exactly. So. And I understand that wholeheartedly because I do the same thing. You know, it's kind of where you're at. You pay attention to that just a little bit closer.
Yeah.
Makes more sense. I don't want to have to walk outside and go, hey, I need wading boots.
Yeah. And for me, that's actually not that uncommon.
Certain spots.
Down on the seawall.
Yeah.
Our seawall at the one end. When the river's flowing like it is now. And the tide was really low this morning.
Yeah.
And that's weird because the river's at 11 feet. It's usually never low for us at this time of year. Had to be a very long, very good outgoing tide.
Well, it's coming up on the full moon, so those tides have been a little backwards this past week.
Yeah, and that means when the water comes up, it comes way up.
Yeah.
Because we're in the bulge spot. As that water comes up into the harbor, it pushes that water backwards up the river, doesn't let the flow come down the river. And then it just kind of bulges up and builds up right there around Harbor Heights and north. And then all of a sudden when that tide goes out, it's literally the toilet
flush.
It's
amazing how fast it dumps, too. As soon as that tide turns a little bit, it's a really pretty alarming how fast it dumps out of there.
Well, gravity's an evil mistress.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's true.
It wants to suck that water flat quick as possible.
Yeah.
All right, Myakka Cutoff, Cattle Dock Point, Tippie Canoe Bay, the 14-foot hole, anything anywhere around there?
Around Hog Island on the Myakka side, there's been some redfish over there. There's been actually a few trout being caught over there also. I haven't heard much of inside Tippie Canoe or inside the cutoff at all. It's mostly been the guys fishing their perimeter edges of it. There's been a couple big schools of ladyfish out in about 6-7 feet of water, kind of in between that 14-foot hole and the Hog Island. And it's been sporadic with the tarpon in there, and those tarpon are running 50 to 100 pounds. So kind of keep an eye out for those ladyfish blitzing a little bit. Makes it pretty exciting. You know, this is the time of year when they really start to feed on those ladyfish. So you come across little schools of them out there, and it can be pretty impressive.
Cool. All right. Over to South Gulf Cove. I haven't had any reports.
I didn't even have any freshwater reports this week over there, and usually I get at least a couple because it's been sporadic the last few weeks over there, but just nothing.
I think as we get our freshwater section developed a little bit better, I think that'll help.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, too, though, is that area back in there, I mean, in all honesty, most of the guys that give us a report for back in there
are gone.
Well, half of those are gone, but the other half are younger guys, and I think this past week school started, so we've got a lot of really screwed up, broken up reports everywhere.
Well, yeah, they're taking their kids to school and doing all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I think that's why some of it's hodgepodged.
Let's go down the west wall.
West wall, the southern part of the west wall has been a little bit better, like from the radio tower going down to Muddy Bay. There's been a lot of redfish right along the edges of bushes and up underneath the bushes. Been a few snook over there, but mostly on the smaller side. And then I've had a couple guys get into some trout as they get closer to the Muddy Bay.
All right, for anybody listening out there, I'm going to try and come up with like a one fish, two fish, three fish, four fish, five fish thing for each of these spots so that you can kind of get an idea. Because we put all these fish up that are being caught there, but we have never rated it to exactly how good the fishing is.
Right.
Because these fish are in those spots, but some spots it's okay, you know, and we try and talk a little bit more like that on here, but when I'm typing it out, it's much harder. So I will figure out how to do that. I just don't know how to do it right now. Not where it's easy enough to do that it doesn't take me a ton of time to do it. I just don't know how to do that.
Yeah, I don't know either. That's a tricky one, too. When the crappy part with that is one guy comes in and he'd give it a 5-star rating. Another guy would give you a 1-star rating because he was 10 feet different than the other guy.
Well, that's the other big thing. But at least it would give him an idea of how good or bad some of these spots are.
Absolutely. I know the water's getting, I'm sure with this water coming down out of the Peace River, the water's gotten a little bit darker over there, but last week it was actually fairly clean for this time of year. I mean, it's a relative term, but usually in August, it's pretty dark over there.
Yeah.
And the last 2 weeks, guys have been talking about how nice it is to be able to see some of these sand holes and shallower spots out there.
Well, that's going to end with the river at
11 feet. Oh, yes, definitely. It's a game changer right there.
Yeah, there's just no way you're going to keep up with clear water with 11 feet of water in Arcadia.
That's, and rising.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
Be curious to see it tomorrow.
The only thing is, that's exactly what it's supposed to be doing at this time. This is not a bad thing. This is normally what we wait for, because Shallow Harbor, there, you know, you have the salt water in some times of year, the fresh water in other times of year. Keeps it a very clean, very nice environment, because fresh water kills salt water bacteria, salt water kills fresh water bacteria. You get the plants that grow in one but not in the other, and it's what we need, but it's just never stopped.
Right.
It's been a year now, and we need a little mini drought to help clean this up. Moving down to Cape Hayes and Muddy Bay, what's going on Cape Hayes out on the bar? What's going on?
Out on the bar, there's been some ladyfish, a lot of bonnet heads. There's been a handful of trout, but they've been mainly out in that deeper water, like 5-6 feet of water. And then I've had a few mixed reports of some flounder on top of Cape Hayes Bar and also on the Boca Grande side where it slopes off into that deeper trough. Several people cleaned house out there. You know, even Stephen Pegleg was... I forget how many he said he caught over in that area. So, that's kind of a nice little change to see those moving around. Usually we associate those with wintertime. So it always impresses me when you get that little drove of fish that move in, keeps you on your toes and goes, yep, we don't know everything. Mother Nature just likes to mess with you and twist things up a little. Keeps it exciting and frustrating all at the same time.
Trying to figure out how to word this as I type it out. Okay, right. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, anything exciting up in there? I mean, it's got to be exciting. It's the Bull Bay.
Yeah, the world famous Bull Bay. Honestly, the only thing I've heard about have been some redfish right there at the Turtle Bay Bar, and then right inside the main entrance going into Bull Bay, there's been some redfish, a lot of little snook, and a few mangrove snapper kind of right there around that first shack on the left and that little trough there. That seems to be about the only thing that I've heard of with any consistency. I know this time of year, those reds, when they start popping up around that Turtle Bay Bar, they usually kind of break loose and you get a lot more scattered fish up inside. But I just haven't heard of anyone catching anything yet back in there worthwhile, I guess, mentioning, or they're keeping it to themselves.
Okay, if I could actually spell and type at the same time, that would be helpful. I'm trying to put left and I go left. Okay. Cape Hayes Reef. Anything on the Cape Hayes Reef out there?
Been some bigger trout on that. And then some Spanish mackerel and an assortment of different size sharks, from small guys all the way up to like 6-7 foot, you know, and the lemons and a few bulls. So it's not too bad, you know, especially if the bait moves on it, when those threadies have been moving on it. That seems when the life really perks up around that whole reef area.
Yeah, it's a nice little reef, but they didn't give it enough relief. By that, yeah. I mean, they didn't. They did a lot of dumping of stuff there, but they didn't count for the silt.
Right.
And the stuff washing over it and filling it in and filling in the pipes. And, you know, when you're building stuff in the harbor, it really has to be more like Lincoln logs stacked up on top of each other, getting up 4, 5, 6 feet and big edges and drop-offs. That's what brings those fish there. A bunch of pipes laying on the bottom don't really do it, and it doesn't. It's easy for the harbor to fill in and just make it kind of bumpy bottom. Not,
yeah, exactly.
You know, so, you know, a little more work on that one. They've already got the base now with these pipes down there. It'd be nice if they'd actually, you know, drop some stuff on top of that stuff.
Come back and add a little bit to it. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is they do a reef and they say, okay, it's not working. But it's just like with anything else. You've got to do it, see what happens, and then come back, add to it, you know, modify and adapt and, you know, do it. So anyway, moving around the corner, starting at Devilfish, going north up towards Catfish, Widden, and all that, the Tailing Flats, the Gasparilla Sound.
Well, there's been a ton of pinfish right there around Devilfish going up to the Tailing Flats, and they're just getting to that nice size where they're just bigger than a 50-cent piece and larger. So the reds have started to pick up on that and getting some good mixed reports out there in some of those grass flats, the sand holes, and even up along Ko Palau and that little oyster bar going into Widden Bay have been holding sporadic numbers of good redfish. Key thing is either cover a little bit of ground working your, you know, soft plastic or spoon real slow, or pitch at each spot with a cut piece of ladyfish and let it sit for a minute at each spot, maybe even 2 minutes, nothing happens. Cast just a couple feet to the left or the right and let it sit again, because those little pinfish coming in and chewing on your cut bait, adding chum to the water and getting things kind of excited and allowing those redfish to kind of hone in on it.
All right. Placida Trestle, Placida Pier.
The trestle itself, it's been an early morning bite and all into the evening time, especially right after those thunderstorms go through.
Okay, so basically what we're saying is this is a standard summertime spot. Basically, you're looking at the cooler hours of the overnight hours trying to help you out, getting rid of some of that blasting sunlight, so morning's late at night.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you were saying it was like, well, this is a revelation. I'm like, yeah, well, pretty much what you've said on every spot, because it's summertime.
Yeah.
So
there's been some good snook, some bigger mangrove snapper started to move back in. Got a couple reports of some pompano off of there. Oddball trout, few Spanish, and some bluefish. So it's been kind of a mixed bag, which has been kind of nice. And there's been a lot of little fry out there from what I'm hearing from everybody. I don't know if it's white bait, but they're saying it's very small, and it's kind of paralleling the pier out there, moving back and forth. So I think that's what's getting some of those fish pretty excited.
Okay. Heading up the intercoastal, Lemon Bay.
Getting up through Lemon Bay, mostly the only thing I've been really consistently hearing about has been some Spanish mackerel along that miserable mile with an oddball trout. Until you get to the pass, it's been just really haven't gotten any good reports.
Okay.
Once you get into that little pass there, that's when it perks up with the whiting and snook.
And stump pass.
Yeah, and stump pass. I know we got that coming up, so.
Well, yeah, sort of. Alright. Englewood Pier. If all you've been hearing about is the mackerel up there, is that just going to hold steady off the pier?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been holding steady there. There has been some more juvenile tarpon there at night. Getting some good reports on that. But other than that, it's almost a mirror image of Placida. I just haven't heard about the bait fish there. Just the tarpon getting excited.
Okay. Well, that brings us out into the Gulf of Mexico. As we were just talking about, we're back to average temperatures. So that's a good thing. I mean, right. I was getting a little worried because we were several degrees over normal. Things were not what they should have been. What do you think? Do you think this is going to actually help bring some of the... Because the grouper bites sucked.
The grouper bites
been bad. Snapper bites crazy good.
Yeah.
You got sharks out there. The Jewfish bite is good. We've had sporadic mahi mahi. We've had wahoo sightings. We've had blackfin tuna, sailfish.
The bonita have been going crazy from 3 to 15 miles out, and they're those little, what I would call bullet bonita. You know, they're running in that 1 to 4 pound range that are just an absolute blast on light tackle. And mixed in with those have been an oddball blackfin, an assortment of different sized sharks from small guys to giant ones. You know, it's just a fun time out there right now. The grouper bite's been terrible unless you're going out 35 to 45 miles out. That's the only guys I'm hearing of that are doing anything consistent. Everything else has been like, oh, hey, we caught one grouper, you know. Whether it's a gag or whether it's a red, it's just you're only hearing a guy catching one or two and really working at it all day long.
Yeah, it's just not been what it should be, but...
No.
Good thing is I'm thinking these cooler water temperatures might help change all that.
Absolutely.
So I guess that's going to bring us up to the passes. So we know Stump Pass.
Yeah. Stump Pass has been
Whiting and Snook.
Whiting and Snook.
Now, what's going on? Stump is supposed to be Stump. Okay, Stump. Boca Captiva.
Let's go to Venice real quick because I've had a couple oddball reports up there this week. There's been a lot of juvenile tarpon in the evening with some big mangrove snapper moving back in. But during the middle of the day, the guys have been getting some big Spanish mackerel.
You piece of junk here. I'm sorry, Robert.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not typing right.
Well, I'm sure the computer's working. It's the loose nut that's trying to hold the computer
on the counter.
Put information into it. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Anyway, what was going on in Venice? Sorry.
The tarpon bite in the evening has been really good. And as it gets darker, it switches over to the snook, mangrove snapper, and the tarpon. And they've been some pretty good-sized mangrove snapper. Not great numbers, but hearing of some 15-inch fish, 16-inch fish being caught off of there.
Okay.
During the daytime, though, there's still been some good Spanish mackerel coming through in little droves. And some big jacks in like that 8 to 10-pound range. A couple of guys were coming in here just super excited about that because it was just so much fun railing them.
Cool.
Okay. You know, then as you get down to Boca and Captiva are both kind of a mirror image of each other lately. A lot of snook in the evenings. Been a couple gags caught out of there. A few flounder along the north edge of Boca and the north edge of Captiva Pass. And then the mangrove snapper started to move back into both those places. So the only difference is usually at Boca, it's like that 30 to 35 feet of mark on the southern end. They're kind of hodgepodge throughout there, and I think it's just because you've got some of those breeding fish that bred in the July full moon have moved back in a little bit, so they're still trying to find where their happy spot is at.
Anything down by Redfish or up by Gasparilla?
I have not heard of anything at either of those two places.
All right. If you're going to go out and just say drive out to the beach, Englewood, Boca, Captiva, whatever, anything you catch from land, just
been a lot of small sharks there at the southern end of Boca Grande from, say, First Street all the way down to the pass itself. You know, a lot of little bonnet heads and a couple oddball black tips. Been a lot of big blue runners moving up and down along the shoreline mixed in with a few Spanish mackerel. And I've heard of a couple big bull reds in the early morning bite right there at the pass itself. The only thing I'm not hearing about is the snook. I'm not hearing darn thing about snook at all. I don't get it.
I've been getting people talking about snook in the passes, whether it's Venice, Boca, Captiva.
The passes a little bit, but where are they at on the beach?
Well, I mean, actually, there's a few people doing it, and they're catching snook on the beaches, but it's nighttime. Who's that?
Donnie Gant.
Oh, so we should have got him to ask him if he wants to do a fishing report, ask him what's going on. That guy really fishes.
He loves offshore fishing for those snapper and king mackerel.
Okay, Robert, I think what we're going to just do is move down to Punarassa, Sanibel Island. Yes. I would swear there was vodka in my coffee.
Yeah,
it's like, what happened there? It's coffee in my coffee. That doesn't make any sense.
Using Kahlua for your creamer?
Yeah. Maybe a waiter. I got too many guys coming in the next couple of days.
Right.
Okay.
The only thing I've been hearing about, honestly, has been right there at the Sanibel Causeway. Been some Spanish mackerel, some small sharks, a few tarpon, mixed gamut of snook. You know, nothing gangbusters until you move up a little further. That area's been quiet lately, and I'm just no good reports, really. You know, but that's kind of normal this time of year, too, because we got so many few people out there fishing down in that end that are consistent for coming up here or calling, especially as school starts. You know, we've already talked about that, but...
Okay, here we go. Backspace, add an R so the word actually makes sense. And let's jump up to Matt Lachey, mid-level on Pine Island.
Yeah, Matt Lachey, I've been getting some better reports for some redfish activity all around there on both sides of it, and particularly the Indian fields. Guys have been going down there and really cleaning house using cut blue crab and cut up ladyfish and sardines. And then a handful of guys have even been catching a few bigger pinfish right there by the Matlache Bridge and then chopping them up and using them pretty well. So, basically cut bait. You know, it's nothing else exciting going on down there that I've heard of. It seems like they're focusing really hardcore on those redfish. I think Carl was talking about taking a ride down there to see some of those fish if they've schooled up down there.
Well, I'm paying Carl to take, I gotta have him take Mike and Jeff and you and everybody else down there to, so you guys learn that area. I fished it enough. I know the area, but you know, when we open that store in Fort Myers, we got to be able to talk intelligently about Matlache, about Pine Island Sound, the right. Coosahatchee Rivers, and Carl's one of the guys who fishes there all the time. So right. I'm paying him to take Mike and Jeff out first, and then I'm going to be rotating everybody out to get them familiar with the whole area down there, what's going on and all that. I got to ride down there and get more pictures. So
right. You gotta have them take some pictures while they're already out there.
They never remember.
Yeah, gotcha.
I said, please take pictures.
How'd that work out?
I'll be lucky if they show back up.
Yeah, no, that's true.
They show back up for work, I think I'm going to be happy. Okay. Pine Island Sound, that's from Matlache. This goes straight out to the other side of the island.
Pine Island Sound been getting a lot of good reports, especially straight in from Captiva Pass, that Captiva Rocks area. All those little islands, what is that, Rat Key and Cat Key, like just south of there. Lots of redfish underneath those bushes. Pretty good numbers of snook. If you're drifting, making some long casts over some of those deeper sand holes, been some pretty good sized mangrove snapper and a few larger trout. So kind of a good mixed variety of stuff there.
Okay. All right, and let's see. I guess we'll hit the top end of Pine Island and talk about Boquilla, Jug Creek Shoals.
All around Jug Creek Shoals has been a good mixed gamut of fish. Spanish mackerel, some bluefish, a lot of little sharks. Even been a few flounder. Had one guy said he saw two different cobia while he was drifting over the flats, fan casting the sand holes, catching some mangrove snapper and trout. So it's kind of a good mixed variety. There's a lot of little bait down there. Some of the guys are catching them in the quarter inch mesh net, which I'm not big on. But they're also getting a lot of pinfish. So that's all seems to be working pretty well.
Okay. All right. Moving in a lateral move over to Burnt Store Two Pines.
Burnt Store Two Pines, that school of redfish showed up about a week ago down there that's been cruising that entire bar. It's early morning and evenings, it seems like they gather up. Once the boat traffic starts, they either split up or move out into that deeper water. So if you can be one of the first people down there or one of the last people there, you're going to be pretty happy. Been a few flounder on the bar itself, just south of Burnt Store. And then handful of sharks on the outside of the bar in that 2 to 4 foot range, you know, those fun size guys. So been a little bit going on down there. Haven't heard much guys for wade fishing down there because it's such a swamp now. There's no way to sneak down through that long trail without getting eaten alive and bogging.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, gee, man, crickets. It'd be so much easier if my fingers actually did what I was thinking. You know?
It would be a lot easier, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I have no idea how I'm playing bass guitar now, because when I'm on a bass, you know, I go, okay, I want A, D, C, E, whatever the notes happen to be, and my fingers will go there. But on the keyboard, I want red, and it comes out, you know, I want to type reds, and it comes out R-S-E-Ds. You know, I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. To be quite honest, I would rather have it this way rather than doing it. I would rather be doing it backwards on the typing. All right, moving up the east side, we've got the East Keys, Cormorant Key, Sneaky Creek, Hobbs Point, Pirate Harbor. What do we got?
Pirate Harbor's got a lot of juvenile tarpon in it right now. Been a few small trout in there. But as you move up just north of Pirate Harbor, along the flats there, along all those locations, mixed gamut of trout, mostly on the smaller side. Some snapper kind of started to move back in. The reds are scattered underneath all of the bushes there, along with a few out in some of those deeper sand holes. And once again, pinfish cut up, cut sardines, cut ladyfish, and especially cut crabs have been, like, you know, the king of bait down there right now for those guys. The weird part is I haven't heard of any little snook over there, and I know that there's plenty of them over there right now. It's just nobody has mentioned much about them. It's kind of a little strange, you know?
Actually, I've had two or three captains talking about them, so...
Right. Yeah, but they weren't fishing there. They said they were there, and they were on the other side.
No, they were there on the east side.
I know.
Yeah.
Usually that's how it works. So, oh, I was catching them at Placida. Oh, so you're over at Burnt Store, huh? Mm-hmm. Complete opposite direction.
Yeah, they get about once with me on that. And then I find out, and they start telling me stuff, and I give them one of those looks, you know, like, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
All right, continuing up the east side, we're hitting Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek's been kind of quiet. The only thing I've heard about is some jacks right at the entrance there. And then there's been a couple juvenile tarpon kind of hanging up at that cut through going into Burnt Store Isles. You know, so a little bit in there, but other than that, the actual channel itself's been pretty quiet.
Well, all right. So, Ponce de Leon, I'm going to actually do what I did to the other ones and give Ponce its own little kind of report. Anything to add in the Ponce report?
Just the few black drum and some small mangrove snapper being caught there. I haven't heard of much that made it super exciting. This
All
rain's got to
move into PGI.
PGI, a lot of juvenile tarpon inside there, and I mean up to like 50 pounders. I'm starting to hear some more mixed reports of bigger guys. A few guys catching some mangrove snapper again. A lot of little peanut snook up underneath all the docks with a few really big fish. But it's mainly been the juvenile tarpon that everyone's been super excited about. Black drum also, and they're still everywhere inside there. I don't know what that little, what I would consider like a lagoon, the one that's straight inside a pond, so
right.
Just keep going straight ahead. That's had some 40 and 50 pound black drum hanging out in there, cruising, drifting along the surface and right up against the docks.
Yeah, one of my favorite places for black drum.
Yeah.
Gilcrest Pier, that's just on the other side of Punta Gorda Isles Canals.
Gilcrest, the only thing I've heard over there has been some small jacks in the morning. Yeah, I haven't heard of anything else really over there. Kind of quiet.
Okay, going out into the harbor to the reef, the Alligator Creek Reef, just out of Alligator Creek, south of Ponce, west of Alligator Creek. What's going on at the reef?
The whole perimeter of the reef has had tarpon on it. You know, they've been from basically Mangrove Point all the way out to the reef, surrounding the reef. And then there's been some good Spanish mackerel on the very southern end of the reef, with a few small sharks and some incidental mangrove snapper, but nothing really great right on the bottom that I've been hearing about. Most of the stuff's been midwater to surface kind of level.
Okay. That takes us out into the holes in the harbor, the deep holes, the 20-foot, the middle hole, the Pirate Harbor hole.
Pretty much the Pirate Harbor hole and the middle hole have got a lot of small assorted size species of sharks. As you move up a little bit further, it starts to get a little less with more catfish, the occasional, Spanish mackerel and the occasional bluefish, but it's been primarily that middle hole and bottom hole for the best activity. Unless catching lots of catfish is your thing, then stay on that upper end. It's been kind of good. Just dodging some of these rainstorms in the afternoon has been the tricky part out there.
Okay. All right, we got a bait report. Let's see. Pinfish, that would be Jug Creek.
Jug Creek, Devilfish, honestly just about all over on the east side. And they're an assortment of sizes from that, you know, 50 cent piece all the way up to like 3 inches. No real giants, but a good variety, almost castable sizes.
All right, white bait, small to tiny on the east side?
Yeah, pretty much small to tiny just about everywhere. Placida, that whole shoreline on the Boca Grande side of the intercoastals, loaded with a bunch of small white bait also.
Okay. You know, while I'm typing, you actually have to continue talking.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying to think here as far as what I'm doing.
Oh, don't do that and ruin the whole damn thing. You know, I ask you, how many times do I say, Robert, please don't think while you're doing this stuff?
I know. Let it roll. Yeah. It's easier.
You're going to get in big trouble and everything's going to go awry. You know, the smoke will fill this little room and we won't survive.
A big long pause because my brain was trying to go and wasn't working right.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Anything else in kind of general fishing terms that we should go over?
Fishing in general.
Hello, it's 1940 calling.
Right? Got to have fun with it. I don't know how to program my phone to do funny phone rings like you guys do.
No, mine. The only reason I took mine off the factory default was because everybody with the iPhone 6 has that.
Yeah, I know.
I heard it, and I keep looking for my phone. So I went to an obscure. I have no idea what it is. I remember I picked an obscure one.
That's the only one I can hear that's loud enough. The rest of them are too quiet for me.
Well, I don't care if I answer that one. That's the lucky part about it. My phone, I know the guitar sounds, and it plays guitar music, and I can hear that, but that's my phone. The other one's just a work phone.
There you go.
So, let's see. I don't know what's going on. We talked a little bit about this new store coming up in Fort Myers. We've been making deals for the website. We've got hooked up. We are going to be able to go with, as these new orders are coming in, we've hooked up with Penn, who is amazing. Finor, Akuma, Shimano, all Fort better in store pricing. They're working with us on making up for the losses once we go to the Amazon price match thing. And so as these new reels are coming in, the prices are going to get better in store. A lot of them you're going to be able to keep your in-store warranty on. As that gets happening, we're going to know which ones you get an in-store, a free in-store warranty, which ones there might be a cost for. You know, there's a lot of stuff, but once we go to, what's up?
Lady wanted to talk to you from the bank.
Okay, I'll be out in just a few minutes, but sorry. Let's see. We don't have a complete handle on it, but when there's no money to be made,
it's just a lot of new guys changes like to that are going to be good and bad.
Well, our guys like to be actually paid for, you know, working. So, you know, they can't sit there and talk about reels and do whatever else if no money comes in from them. And then bringing the reels in, handling them, paying to send them back, working with all the returns and stuff. Once you take out that, you know, extra percentage that we're going to have to drop, we're not going to be able to do that on all the reels. Penn, definitely. In-store warranty, there's no extra charge. We'll be, you know, doing the Amazon price match and stuff with them. That's no issue. They were great to deal with. Shimano stepped up a little bit, but with the Shimano stuff, we got to see, because all they've done so far is talk. They actually haven't done anything. So, but at least they're talking.
Yeah, that's a step in the right direction. You absolutely.
Know, I hate to say it, but I used the Donald Trump thing. They said, you know, he said, you got to be willing to walk away, you know? Right. And this isn't a political endorsement or not a political endorsement. This was just a fact. He said, and I said, well, let me try it. And I went and I used that to negotiate with. Got to tell you guys, it worked, you know?
Well, sometimes it does.
Yeah, once the other person knows you're willing to just walk away and not just, okay, I'm not in, all of a sudden you would be surprised at what they will do to get back on board. And I'm shocked. So thank you, Mr. Trump. That was a good technique. Right. It worked, you know. I don't know about any of the rest of the stuff he's doing or not doing, but that worked. Right. So it got us some amazing things, because we didn't know where we were going to go with that. So we actually, And then, you know, that's actually how it worked out. But how many weeks did I spend agonizing over what was going to happen when I finally got together with these real companies? And, you know, then I let my inner Trump come out. And there it was. I was like, damn, it worked.
Nice.
Surprised the heck out of me. So anyway, let's see. I don't know what else is going on. Definitely got hit by the Monday weirds. I mean,
yeah.
I work weekends, so I usually don't have Mondays. Mondays could pop up on a Thursday or a Friday or a Wednesday for me just as easily on Monday. But man, I got hit with a full Monday this morning. Can't think, can't work, aggravated, grouchy, you know, all those things coming up. So anyway, I think that's about it for Radio Fishing here. Any last thing we need to go over, Robert?
No, I think we hit it all.
Terry, anything we should be considering doing here?
Yeah, let's go out fishing.
Let's go out fishing.
Nice.
There's the wife.
I like it.
Yeah, there's
that
the
was
wife.
Good.
That's what I consider we should do.
All right.
That was good.
How long are you going to, how long going to take you to do your stuff here? Because I'm ready to call it now.
Oh, okay.
I've had
I can get there real quick.
I've had a day, like, already.
She's ready to call today. She's ready.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Go.
So, yeah, the doctor says, oh, you're going to use these new diabetes pills. And they were $300 for a month, that Farxiga goofy garbage. Are you kidding me?
May not be garbage, but you just, that kind of coin? That's a big pill to swallow.
Yeah, well, I could swallow a pill, but I can't swallow that bill. I mean, right. I get the stuff I used to do either for free or for, you know, $20-$30 a month. Why would I go on that junk for $300 a month?
Right.
Now you know why they you see it on TV.
Yeah.
Talk about rape and pillage. Once you see something on TV, know they're going to stick it to you when you come, you go in to get it.
Right.
Because somebody's got to pay for all that advertising.
Exactly.
That's the only reason it's so expensive is the advertising. Like cereal. Cereal was up to like $6-$8 a box. Now it's back down to $4 or whatever it is. But it's a lot less because they quit spending all their money advertising. They didn't have to make as much anymore.
Right.
So anyway, that's my feeling. I think they was trying to rip me off. So anyway, I guess that's it for Radio Fishing, political
rants,
non-rants, because I was really wasn't trying to be political.
No.
But I was just actually... Wow.
Making a statement.
Yeah, it worked. So, anyway, I guess that's it. So,
that's it.
All right, boys and girls, we'll see you on the next Radio Fishing. Thanks for listening. I apologize for being so on point. I have no idea what happened to today, but this is what happens on a Monday to you. All right. All right, Fishing Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me. Finally getting out of this. Didn't know how I was going to wrap up out of the show. We're going to spend about 15 minutes, go home, see if the boat runs.
There you go.
I think that's going to be key to getting over this. All right, bye-bye, boys and girls. Thanks.